Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for giving us your word, the Bible. Thank you that it's right, trustworthy, perfect and radiant. And we pray that you would refresh our souls this morning as we look at it together, whatever the challenge that comes. That you'd give us wisdom, we'd acknowledge how foolish we have been. That there would be joy in what we hear, and light, that we can walk the paths of following Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Black Lives Matter. Three words that are bound to create a reaction. And your reaction will be different maybe from someone sitting near you. For some, absolutely is what you're thinking. Yes, and it's great that that movement has come along and made a difference and continues to with protests and change, and more change is needed. And for others, it's a kind of, White Lives Matter too. Then there's other reactions in between. I wonder what you're thinking. Now, if we're Christians, if we're trusting in Jesus, following him as a response to his grace and love in setting us free through his death on the cross and forgiving our sins, how should we respond? This is number two in our Word and World series. The idea of the series is that as people who trust in Jesus, we're going against the flow of the world around us, because there are all sorts of issues where what the world says to us is different from what God's word says to us. And we want to sit under God's word. Let it have its authority on us, because that's what Jesus calls us to do. Today's issue is racism. And from the start, I want you to know that black lives matter to Jesus. And so black lives matter to us as followers of Jesus. We can't support every aim of the BLM organisation. If you go on their website and read about what the organisation believes and follows, well, lots of things there for other Word and Word sermons that are coming up. So we can't follow all of that. But from God's word, it is very clear that we've got work to do when it comes to combating racism. Let's start with a little recap of what we thought about last week. The foundations for all of this, God's design, that God made the world. And when he did it, he didn't do it with a sort of jumbled up thing. He made it with a purpose and a will and a design. And if you remember, we had two particular things that we thought about. I'm going to test your memory here. GPD and GBS. Sound like dodgy drugs, don't they? GPD and GBS. GPD, God's PD, anyone remember? Perfect design. God's perfect design. Yep. And GBS, God's better story. Let's say them together, because that way you won't remember. God's perfect design and God's better story. So God's perfect design is this, that God has made the world and he's made us humans as part of that world, and he's made us to reflect himself. He's revealed the best way to live in this creation that he's made. And following the maker's instructions makes sense because of that. So Psalm 119 is a great long psalm about God's word. And it begins like this. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. God's perfect design. Now the thing is, we are not the people who follow him with all our heart, and we don't keep all his statutes. So it's broken. And in the brokenness, there's something else. There is God's better story. That despite our failure, God, out of his love and grace, has sent his son. He came as his son, Jesus, to deal with this and to die on the cross and rise again, so that our sins can be forgiven and new life can begin if we turn to him. And we can have a relationship with God, restored with God as our loving Heavenly Father. Wow. God's better story. And the better story is that, well, However you want to live, trusting in Jesus, following him, and putting his will into practice is better. It's better than any alternative. So Jesus says in John 10, he says about Satan, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Life to the full is only in Jesus, and that's God's better story. So with that in mind, what do Christians do about racism? Well, here's my first point. As some of you know all too well, racism really is a problem. Racism really is a problem. Here's a simple definition of racism, comes from dictionary. The unfair treatment of someone because of his or her race. The unfair treatment of someone because of his or her race. Now, the Black Lives Matter movement has grown as a protest movement, particularly in America, in the United States of America, as a result of the unjust deaths of black men and women at the hands of the police and other people. So you might remember names like Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd. The UK situation is different. Our police, by and large, don't walk around with guns. But nevertheless, there's a problem. And the Independent Office of Police Conduct did a review of stop and search last year. And they discovered that in the year ending March 2021, if you're black, you're 7 times more likely to be stopped by the police than if you're white. And if you're Asian or mixed ethnic, 2.5 times more likely to be stopped than if you're white. And I know there are some people out there saying, well, that's because they do more crime. But not according to the Independent Office for Police Conduct. They said and recognised it's disproportionate and damaging to race relations. It happens because of racism. And it's a sad fact that racism is part of the everyday experience of our brothers and sisters, whose skin colours may be darker than yours, or maybe whose origins are in a part of Europe further east than yours. Let me give some examples. So this is from Chucks, who works for Virgin, and he writes this. There are daily little signs, the almost unconscious actions, like catching women grabbing their bags as soon as they see you approaching them on the pavement, getting followed around a quiet store while other customers are ignored, and so on. My wife worked for years as a nurse. Racist verbal abuse and the threat of violence was not uncommon, and always from the very patients she and her colleagues were trying to help, and their family. Only a few months ago, a customer walked into the branch of Boots my daughter worked at as a pharmacist, and refused to be served by my daughter because she was black. My older daughter felt employment opportunities improved after she changed her name from Chinyere to Nicola. And here's from a newspaper article about racism in UK schools. Naomi spoke about starting primary in Chelmsford, Essex, and being the only black girl in her class. Kids called her Pooh, and she said she smelled and laughed at her hair. "I felt very, very ugly," she said. One bully physically assaulted her. Raised a Christian, she would ask God, "What did I do wrong for me to be black? Like my whole life is a mistake." She was 6. And this is a letter in response to that article. "It is the subtlety of racism in adulthood that has worn me down. The question, but where are you really from? I'm really British. The ticking of boxes that put white at the top and divide everyone else into various categories of colour with black at the bottom. The use of the term non-white to remind us that we lack something. The knowledge that if you're dark-skinned, you have to work harder to prove yourself trustworthy and intelligent." The list would go on. And this is from an organisation that called Stop Hate UK. They say, "Racially motivated hate crimes are the highest reported type of hate crime in the UK. A total of Over 85,000 racially aggravated offences were recorded in 2020 to 21, which is up 12% on the previous year. And according to victim support, race and nationality hate crimes rose by a shocking 73% in 2021. And the Church of England doesn't come out scot-free in all of this. You may know that when the Windrush generation arrived on the shores of the United Kingdom, they were by and large rejected by Church of England churches and church members. Racism really is a problem. Now, why? Well, someone has said, the heart of a human problem is the problem of the human heart. Jesus said, what comes out of a person is what defiles them, makes them unclean to God. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come, and so on. It is our rebellion against God's perfect design that causes racism and everything else that's wrong. And our rebellion, sin, affects every one of us, whatever the colour of our skin, including your skin colour. Racism really is a problem. So what should we do? Point number two. Jesus is against racism. Jesus is against racism. For Jesus, whatever the colour your skin is, you are one of the lost he's come to seek and find. You are someone he died on the cross for. You were on his heart and mind as he hung there. He calls you to repent and believe. Isn't that good news? Jesus is against racism. This is part of God's better story. Think of the day of Pentecost. This is the day just after Jesus has risen from the dead, gone back to heaven. His disciples are waiting for the promised Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes, and there's a whooshing sound like a strong wind, and they all find they're speaking in different languages. And this is what it says in Acts 2. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all those who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Now, I haven't got a slide because of our dodgy system, but imagine the Mediterranean. It's like a big sort of thing like that, with countries all around the edge, and Cyprus sitting abroad there. Yeah? And then you go off in that direction, you get Syria and Iraq and other things. Well, these countries just mentioned are all around the Mediterranean and over there. The colours of these people's skins were all sorts of colours, including black. On the first day when 3,000 of these people became Christians, they're Pentecost. Jesus is against racism. Who does Philip, one of the early disciples, who does he meet in Acts 8 on the road out into the desert? Who does he meet? An Ethiopian black man who's a government official for Queen Candace. And at the end of that meeting, when they've looked at Isaiah 53 together, the guy says this. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and he, the Ethiopian, said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptised? This is wonderful. One of the first people outside Jerusalem to become a Christian is a guy from Ethiopia, a black guy. Jesus is against racism. This is God's better story. And turning to Jesus is the best way to live in God's creation for people of any skin colour, wherever you live. And because of Jesus, we're all brothers and sisters when we do. We're in a family. And we can call God our Heavenly Father. Brothers and sisters together, children together of our loving Heavenly Father. Now, we don't have to go very far in the Bible to find out why this is the case. It's right at the beginning and right at the end and all the way through. Right at the beginning, God's perfect design got Genesis 1, 26 that we heard last week. God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. And he goes on, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Whatever our skin colour, we're made in the image of God. And that means we're created to reflect God's character and what he's like and to live for him in his world. And then at the end of the Bible, Revelation 7, we heard read out. Wonderful passage. After this I looked, says John, and before me there was a great multitude that no one could count. So these are people rescued by Jesus. They've trusted in him. From every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, that's Jesus. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. There's no place in God's eternal kingdom for discrimination, devaluing, bullying, ignoring, rejecting because of the colour of someone's skin or the place you think they come from. Jesus is wonderfully against racism. So, racism is a problem. Jesus is against racism. Number three, what can we do? What can we do? I've got four ideas, okay? Four things to think about. Number one, rejoice. Rejoice. God's better story really is a better story. Jesus' call to repent and believe, Jesus' promise of forgiveness and new life is for all. For all. You know, think of the people who live down your street. All sorts of different colours of skin. It's for all of them. Maybe at the moment they've got another religion. But Jesus' call is for them. Repent and believe. The promise is the same. They could be, in Jesus, children of our loving Heavenly Father. And we're looking forward to a multicoloured heaven with Jesus. Why not get some practice in now? Make some friends with people who are not your skin colour. Rejoice. That's one thing we can do. Here's another. Repent. Repent. Listen to these three phrases. Micro inequalities. Microaggressions. Unconscious bias. Now, these are not the woke imaginations of a liberal bunch of people who are trying to destroy society. These are descriptions of the realities of life for people who experience racism. And we heard about them in some of those examples I gave earlier. Now, perhaps these things are coming from you and me. The thing about unconscious bias is that, do you know what? It's unconscious. And we have blind spots. Now, the thing with a blind spot is you don't know it's there. And you need someone else to tell you about it. And it's a bit painful when they do. Because it's a blind spot, you can't see it. So, let's be humble and loving. And loving enough to accept that it might be you. And it might be me that's doing some of this racism. And let's repent. David, you say, what does repent mean? Well, repent means it's a change of mind, a turning around. And in the Christian sense, it means we, first of all, recognise what we're doing wrong. And then we determine not to do it and call on Jesus for forgiveness. And the wonder of the gospel is that the forgiveness is there and the help by God the Holy Spirit to help us in not doing it. The change. Repent. And that repentance also includes sometimes apologising to people whom we've hurt. Let's repent of racism. Rejoice. Repent. And then a couple of maybe smaller things. Let's speak out in our situations. You know, where we are and with the people we know. Let's call out racism when we see it or hear it. So perhaps your family over a meal, or going out to a restaurant with some friends, or at work chatting, in the playground at school. Maybe something happens and someone says something or they do something. Well, that was just because that person's from somewhere else or looks different. Call it out. Be brave. Now, sadly, in London at least, there are some situations where it's not safe to do that. maybe on the tube or something, if you see something, sadly. Call the tube police in that situation. But in our families, our workplaces, let's do it. Let's be brave. Speak out in our situations. And then number four, so rejoice, repent, speak out. And number four, why not? You can do this one today in a few minutes. Get to know someone new at church whose skin colour is different from yours. I mean, it's a great thing anyway to get to know other people at church. I think that one of the ways there's unconscious bias in our church community is that people don't cross the skin colour divide that often with making new friends. So let's be brave and do that. Don't just talk to people you know well over coffee. Be brave and loving. Find someone you don't know well. And because today, every person of a slightly different skin colour is going to have so many people talking to them, just choose anybody to get to know who you don't know already. Different age, different background, whatever. This is Jesus-like, isn't it? You can imagine Jesus in a crowd. He'd be stumped to know who to go talk to, wouldn't he? Because there's so many people, unlike us, they sort of hide in the corner. Let's be brave and loving and Jesus-like. Brothers and sisters, racism really is a problem. Jesus is against it. What can we do? Rejoice in Jesus. Repent of our racism. And do something to make a difference. Black lives matter to Jesus. Let's follow Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, it's tragic to hear those experiences of people who in their day-to-day lives, every day maybe, are finding that because of the colour of their skin, they're treated differently in a hurtful way. Lord, have mercy on us when that has come from any of us. From your church. Lord, we rejoice that in Jesus there's going to be a wonderful feast and party in heaven with people from every tribe, language and nation. And as we wait for that, we pray for your help if we're trusting in him, to see those blind spots that we have, to love our neighbours, and to do something in our own lives and the lives of those around us to stop racism. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.